Lillian Vasquez, and this is Inland Edition. Domestic violence is always a problem, but with people working at home and homeschooling their children during this pandemic, I'm thinking this kind of abuse is on the rise. To find out more about this important topic, we invited domestic violence and abuse expert Manette Morgan to learn more about this topic. Manette, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Lillian. I appreciate it.
So, in the introduction there, I'm guessing that it is up because the two people are in the home more than usual. So tell me a little about what you've seen during COVID-19 as it relates to domestic violence.
You know, for me personally, I feel what's going on is, yes, it is at a rise. You know, I don't know if you're aware of this, but nearly 20 people per minute are physically abused by an intimate partner in the United States. And unfortunately, even as far as we've come with the Me Too movement, not even 90% proceed to get the support or help they need a lot of times. But on the topic of what's going on, I personally feel it's the fear factor that's involved. I always say it's the fear of the what ifs. You know, we're dealing in a new era right now of what our normal isn't even close to what it used to be, as you know.
Right.
And what we're seeing is a fear in what if I get sick? What if I even horribly die? What if I can't pay my bills? What if I can't go to work? To what if things don't get better and improve? And to me, that's where I see a rise in fear. And that rise in fear, in my opinion, causes a lot more anger, rage, hopelessness, depression within the family households. And I think what we're seeing is those abusers or people that have tendencies for abuse,
mm-hmm.
those things are affecting them traumatically. And in turn, they take out their ability not to control what's going on and onto their families, their spouse, their partner, their children. And to me, I think that's what we're seeing. And that's why I think there's such a rise right now.
So are we seeing the rise in that those that are already being abused in that household, it's increased? Or are we also seeing more abuse that those perhaps hadn't walked that way before, but because of the stress and the anxiety they're under, that's increased? Or is it both?
I think it could be considered both. I think you're on point to think that, you know, the situation is definitely, I think, intensifying the abuse. So someone before that might have just been more emotionally, psychologically abusive, maybe at that tipping point, they've become even somewhat physical. And then also on top of all that, I think I wouldn't necessarily say, I think if you're an abuser, you're an abuser. You've been doing this for a while. I don't think we're necessarily developing new people that are abusive. But I do think we're seeing, you know, a change in the intensity.
You shared numbers a few minutes ago. How rampant is abuse within our society? You shared that 20 people per minute are being abused across our nation?
Yes, across the United States. Yes. I think there's another statistic, like 40 million people suffer from abuse in our country alone. It's nuts. And that doesn't even talk about the children out there. Like 1 in 4 girls and 1 in 6 boys will experience some type of sexual abuse before they're 18. I think it's almost 1 in 3 to 4 women experience abuse in their lifetime.
So as we talk about abuse, abuse comes in different forms. What types of forms, when we say domestic abuse, what are we talking about?
There are tons of different kinds of, you know, abuse when you get down to the nitty gritty, in my opinion. But, you know, a lot of people are very familiar with physical abuse,
right,
and sexual abuse. Those are pretty obvious.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the psychological, emotional abuse that I think so many people aren't aware of, because it can be so different. I always say in my book, I have a thing that says monsters are lambs. And I think it's important for those that maybe haven't been in an abusive relationship to understand that that same abuser can be so caring and compassionate one moment and be so controlling and manipulative the next. I think emotional and psychological abuse is all about control, manipulation, threatening victims with violence, but maybe never doing anything violent. Harassment denying the victim of relationships with family and friends, maybe denying them access to finances, their phones, their computers, things along that line that I don't know that everyone's quite aware of how, you know, manipulative and controlling it can be in that environment.
You wrote the book, Finding Your Voice. Why did you write this book?
Mostly because I'm a survivor of abuse myself. I grew up in an emotionally abusive father that was an alcoholic who grew up in his own emotionally abusive household as a young child. He just repeated the process, and that's something important for us to understand. Also, I went on, and as a young girl from 8 to 13, I was sexually abused by an older cousin, which is a horrific time in my life, and it was very detrimental to my development overall. And then, of course, coming from that, I was quite comfortable with abuse, unfortunately, and I went on to date and end up marrying my high school sweetheart who was emotionally abusive. And I didn't get out of my own situations until I was 23. So for me, I think I really wanted to help other people that's been through this. And I waited until I had spent years accumulating knowledge and growing and overcoming my own circumstances before I even attempted to write about it. You know, for me, I think I really wanted to offer something different out there. You know, I started on my own healing journey. I had an amazing therapist. I had great group therapy. I had some good tools. I did. And people could say, you know, I totally understood why I had gone in another abusive relationship as a young woman. I understood how I had gotten there. But the thing that was missing for me personally was no one said, you know, Manette, this is how you put the pieces of your life back together. This is how you heal the pain of all that trauma of all those years. This is how you find yourself. This is how you discover your self-worth. This is how you figure out who you are, how you have healthy relationships, what boundaries look like. You know, I could go on and on. But that's what I offer in the pages of my book, along with a survivor's perspective. And it's part memoir on top of self-help, because I really want the survivor to understand that I'm familiar with maybe parts and pieces of their life.
Mm-hmm. Let me reintroduce our guest is author Manette Morgan. She is a domestic violence and abuse expert. And is it fair to say survivor, or do you go by another title when you say that?
No, I am a survivor, totally. I kind of feel like there's a process there. You know, I always say I love to transform people from victims to survivor or help them transform. I don't do it for them. But I think it's important to understand that, you know, when you're a victim, when you're in it and you can't even see it. I mean, yes, you're surviving it, but you're just repeating the process and playing the same role as victim. I love it when we transfer and become that survivor, because that's when I think we gain the knowledge and the inspiration and, you know, the strength and empowerment to move forward. And that's when we have all of those little tools to break the cycle of abuse in our own lives. I talk a lot about that. If you go to my website at ManetteMorgan.com, the first thing you'll see, join my cause to stop the cycle of abuse, because I don't necessarily feel that we have to fix every abuser out there and stop them. It's more about helping the survivor grow and become empowered. What happens is when we become empowered as a survivor and we regain that self-worth that is taken from us the first time we're ever abused, that's when we make the changes. That's when we feel like we're worth something and we value ourselves, and we won't accept those unhealthy relationships going forward. We know we're better than that. We know we deserve more.
So you indicated that you were abused, sexually abused, you were abused in your relationship, your father, and then the man you married. How long did it take for you to come out of it and when you decided to write this book?
Okay, well, I was abused as a child in my first marriage, and I had two children with my husband at the time. And when I was 23, I always say I had my awakening that is the point that I actually was one morning cleaning house, taking care of my babies, working on my little side business I had, and I saw this woman on television. And she was speaking about abuse and being deeply depressed. And when she spoke, for some reason, that moment, it just triggered. And for the first time in my life, I think I was ready to hear the truth, mm-hmm. and I was ready to face the truth. So when she spoke of abuse and depression, I thought, okay, well, I need to get fixed. I need to do something here. I don't want to live like this forever. And I think that was my start of my healing process. I started therapy, group therapy, reading self-help, all those things. Now, I can proudly say that I never had another abusive relationship once I got through that year after leaving my husband. Mm-hmm. I, you know, titter-tottered with an unhealthy relationship for a very short time, saw the red flags and ran. I think for me, that was the beginning. I got help, I got better, and I continuously improved. I had an amazing life after that. Within, I think it was 3 years of that, I married an amazing man that treated me so great. Unfortunately, he passed away later after 10 years, and I'm remarried again, and he's an amazing man that treats me with the utmost respect. But I think it was when my husband moved me overseas to Singapore, the current husband, for his job, and we made a decision to go over there, that I had people encouraging me to say, how can you help other survivors? How can you help them heal? And that's when I went back to school and became a certified life coach. I have 2 certifications. And then by the time I got back and started teaching workshops, helping individuals, I realized it was hard to share all the information I had in such a short time with workshops and classes. So I ended up sitting down and started writing a book, which was crazy for me because that's never what I planned on doing. But the thing was, I'm severely dyslexic, so it was a big challenge.
Wow.
7 years to write. It was much later that I came back to it to write the book and share what I knew.
You're listening to Inland Edition. I'm Lillian Vasquez, and today we're talking with author and domestic abuse expert, Menet Morgan. More on her book and this important topic in a minute. We need to take a quick break, but stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to KVCR. I'm Lillian Vasquez, and this is Inland Edition. My guest is domestic violence expert, Menet Morgan. Before the break, we were talking about your experience as a victim of domestic violence and how you decided to write this book to teach others how to survive. So as we continue, please tell us how old you were when you left your abuser.
24, 23.
Can I ask you how old you are now?
Yes, I am 54.
In your book, there is a comprehensive blueprint guide that offers step-by-step strategies. You wrote this with your experience in mind. Have you heard from others that have read this step-by-step and it helped them, it worked? Do people read it all and take it all in, maybe take baby steps of it? How's that process with the information that you provide? And what are they?
I think that's a great question because I always say this isn't a weekend read. I'm always like, you know, this is a process. Healing is a process. And I think there's certain things that we're ready for and certain things we're not in that process. So, yes, I have had wonderful feedback and reviews from the book that people that have read it, from psychologists and therapists to individuals that are survivors to people that teach and help others. It's actually in a few curriculums and some universities now. I'm super proud of the work I did, but it's a process, just like you said. It is a process. And it is baby steps. I even refer to that in the book. I'm like, okay, right now you're just trying to set up and move forward. Then you're going to crawl, then you're going to walk, and then you're going to get it. There is so much information in there, but the rough overview is, you know, I feel like the first step to healing is just learning to love, accept, and respect yourself. And I drill that home because if you've been abused or anyone out there listening, you know that that's what you lose in the beginning of the abuse. You just lose that. It's just the abuser takes it from you and not even intentionally. So the first part is that. Then it's about those coping skills we acquire as survivors. you know, we have so many of those that are destructive. And there's a few sometimes that can be beneficial. And I try to help you discover those and tame or omit the ones that don't work. And I teach you exercises and things to help get through that. Then there's all about discovering who you are. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but if you've ever seen the movie Runaway Bride with Richard Gere and Julia Roberts.
Yes.
This is the perfect example of a character. Her character is someone that has lost themselves and more than likely been through trauma or been abused. Because Richard Gere is a reporter, if you don't know the movie, and he goes around asking all her fiancés, because she has this tendency to get to the altar and run. And so he has asked all her fiancés, how does she like her ex? And they all reply the exact same way. That's so simple. She likes what I like. Well, that's someone that doesn't know who they are or what they like. And that was me at 23. I didn't know who I was, what I liked. I didn't know what kind of eggs I liked. I encourage survivors to discover so much about themselves so they can learn what kind of eggs they like. And that's my goal. So that's just, you know, pieces, parts. I also deal with what keeps you from being happy and finding joy in your life, which in my view is the happy busters, which is guilt, shame, fear, worry, anxiety, and anger. I also teach you about healthy relationships, boundaries, communication skills. These are all vital because I think this is what's lacking sometimes, like it was for me with my own journey of healing. Like I said, they could tell me why I was the way I was, but they didn't tell me what healthy was. They didn't tell me, hey, Manette, this is a healthy relationship, what you want. So this is how you communicate clearly.
Let me just ask you on that. Do you think all, and I'm going to generalize here, women, but I do know that men are abused as well. But do you think that all women realize they are, that they are being abused? Of course, they understand when it's physically. But sometimes I wonder if women recognize that this is not right, but it's all they know, and so they think it's okay. I mean, they're not being physically abused. They don't think they fall in that category. Do you think sometimes women don't recognize it?
I think it happens all the time.
Okay.
I didn't realize it. I totally was in a relationship and thought it was fine. I just thought he was moody and a little controlling. I think you're exactly right. You know, it's even more fascinating to me. I don't think sometimes the abuser or the victim realize they're in a toxic relationship that's full of emotional, psychological abuse. And the reason I say this is we learn from our own experiences. We learn from what we witness. So if you have someone that is an abuser and they grew up in a household that abuse was normal, for lack of a better word, and they saw their father abuse their mother, and I'm not saying it couldn't be the other way around, or they learned from an older sibling how to be abusive, they carry that and repeat the process. The same goes for the victim. The victim grows up in a household watching someone in their own household be abused, or maybe they're abused by someone, a parent. They find comfort and normalcy in that type of behavior. So what happens is they'll go on and marry or get in a relationship with someone that repeats the process, and they'll continue to play the victim role. I used to always say I was so fortunate because when I left my first husband, I think my biggest fear after talking to therapists and understanding how abuse works and how it's generational and the cycle works, I realized that either I can stay here, and I grew up in the South, and live in a trailer house with a man that verbally abuses me and maybe eventually one day beats me, and teach my son how to be an abuser and teach my daughter how to be a victim. Or I can get out and change my life and theirs.
How are your children, and what did you try to instill in them?
Thanks for asking that, because I'm so proud of them. I feel so fortunate. I have two grown children. I was young when I had my kids. So I have a 30-year-old daughter that is expecting my first grandbaby in October. Aww. She got married 2 years ago. She is married to an amazing man that is loving and caring, and she is a strong, independent woman. I am so proud of her. She has her undergrad and her master's in human resources. Then I have a son who's 33 who just he's engaged and he's getting married this next summer, who understands what healthy relationships are. He's actually a coach and he works with special needs children. He's a men's soccer coach at a huge high school in Texas, and his fiance is an amazing young woman, and they both have, you know, been to school. She's a nurse. I'm just so proud of them because they have what I would consider normal life. They have good communication skills. They're just regular people Yes. having a good life, and I'm so, so, so proud of them.
Let me reintroduce our guest is author Manette Morgan. She is a domestic violence and abuse expert. Let me bring it back to COVID-19 and this coronavirus pandemic and being quarantined and still being in homes. What do you say to the person that's living in this right now? As you indicated at the beginning of our interview that it's a little more rampant right now. What are you telling that person that is being abused in this situation at this time? Can you get out, or does COVID-19 kind of have limitations for getting out?
My belief is if you want something bad enough, you can do it. And if you want to get out, you can. I always say there's three steps to this when you're in these situations. There's to get the help, get out, and stop the cycle. So to get help, now it may be a little trickier right now. I get that.
Right.
And by the way, if you're in a life or death or a life-threatening situation, first and foremost, call 911. Let's don't forget that. That is your best resource in a life-threatening situation, just like any other life-threatening situation. But if you can get help, and all that requires is make a plan. You know, there's organizations out there that are amazing to help give you resources and the things you might need to get started and make that plan. You know, you might need a lawyer, a therapist. You may need a place to go and a place to stay. And I always say, if you go to my front page on my website, I list links to all these different organizations all over the country. Or some of them, like womenslaw.org, they actually have a place you can go in state by state to look for local resources as well. But I always say, do that. Do the work. Make the plan.
So how can you...
Get the support system.
Excuse me for interrupting. How can you make the plan when they're right there, when they're in the room right there? So that's why I'm wondering, just during COVID-19, mm-hmm. how, you know, somebody listening mm-hmm. saying, we need to make that plan. I want to make that plan. But he's right there or he's nearby, or the fear of trying to make that plan just seems so fearful.
I know. Well, and some of those, you know, some abusers monitor someone's every move and
exactly.
control everything. And if you're in that case, I'm actually working on something to put on my website. You need to take precautions. If you look up and search stuff and you have concern someone's following you or watching you, you need to delete all your research history every time you get on, every single time. I cannot stress this enough. If not, then try to work with a friend. I'm always like, you know, find that support system. If that's a friend or a family member you can trust and believes you and supports you, then maybe use their phone, use their computer. Let them keep your list for your plan. if there's a will, I always believe there is a way. Now, do you need to outsmart them? Yes, sometimes you do. And then when it comes time to get out, you know, I'm going to sympathize with every one of you out there trying to do this. I know it was hard for me. It was the hardest thing I think I ever did in my life was leave him. I want you to know you can do this. And you deserve more than the abuse you have experienced up to this point. So get that plan and then make your move. And then once you're out and you're starting over, then do the work. Get the help you need. If it's a book, a therapist, whatever it is, get the help so that you can break the cycle in your own life and for the lives of your children. And I know it's scary right now. I know things are horrifying, but there is a way to do it. Like I said, recruit a friend. You know, use their phone and computer if you have to. Have them keep your list, or maybe they can contact the lawyer for you or the place you want to go. Maybe you sneak off with them and you're just going to the store, but that's not where you're going. do the best you can to get your little ducks in a row, as I say,
right,
and make your move.
Now, those that have children, as you did your ex-husband not interfere and expect to see his children, or how does that become another layer of challenges?
It's another layer of challenges. In my case, my husband, he got to see the children. I could not stop that. I was lucky in one way that he loved our children, so he wasn't abusing them. If it was, it was very slight, indirect, you know, manipulation at times. And if they talked to me, I would just correct it. But unfortunately, in not every case are you going to be able to start over and then never be near your children. There are cases that you can. If he's abusing the children and you can prove it, you can hopefully keep him away from them. Sometimes you're going to have joint custody. But the fact is, guess what? You're just as powerful as him. You can teach your children what healthy is, and he can teach them what unhealthy is. Because once they're grown, they know right or wrong. And even as they become young, you know, teenagers, they start getting it. At least that was my experience, and I know of a lot more that say the same thing.
So what is your greatest takeaway during this pandemic time or in general? Just get your ducks in a row?
Yes. I would say make a plan. Make a plan, get your ducks in a row. And, you know, and if you're at that point that you're just not sure, I think there's so many people out there, like you said earlier, that they're not even sure they're in an abuse. They question it. Get some information. I think there's a great, it's on the front page of my website as well. There's a link to helpguide.org. It really helps you understand abuse, especially that psychological abuse. If you think, I'm just so miserable, I'm unhappy, I know something's wrong, but I'm not sure if it's me or him. It helps clarify that so that you know who's really responsible for what's going on in your situation. I think knowledge is so valuable. It's just the most valuable thing we have, is to understand our situation and what's going on in our lives and how it's affecting us.
My guest is Manette Morgan. She's the author of Finding Your Voice. She is a domestic violence and abuse expert and a survivor. It's been wonderful speaking with you. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it, Lillian.
Finding Your Voice, A Path to Recovery for Survivors of Abuse is the title of Manette Morgan's latest book. You can find it in bookstores and online. Tomorrow on Inland Edition, we'll hear how changes in routines related to the coronavirus pandemic might affect your pets. We'll talk with veterinarian Roland Tripp. That's tomorrow at 2 p.m. and our new time at 6:30 p.m. right here on Inland Edition. To hear this episode and past shows, visit our website at kvcinews.org/Inland Edition. You can also listen to Inland Edition on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play Music. Search for Inland Edition on your streaming service. Inland Edition is a production of Empire KVCR News. Rick Dulock writes and produces the program. Shireen Awad provides production support. David Fleming provides final edits, mixes in the music, and assembles the show. Michael Sanchez is our sound engineer. I'm your host, Lillian Vasquez. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.